The story is told of a burglar who broke into a house one night. He shined his flashlight around looking for things that he might take. And as he picked up a CD player and was going to cut the cords, suddenly there was a screeching voice from behind him. "Jesus is watching you." He nearly jumped out of his skin. He clicked out his flashlight and froze. And when he had heard nothing more after a few minutes, he began to promise himself a vacation as soon as this job was over. And he began to move again, and suddenly that voice came back and it said, "Jesus is watching you." This time he turned around frantically and he shined the light around the room and he came across a parrot sitting in the corner. And he said, "Who are you?" And the parrot said, "My name is Moses." And the thief said, "What kind of people would name their parrot Moses?" And the parrot said, "The same kind of people who would name their Rottweiler Jesus. Sick 'em, Jesus."
Oh, my word.
That might sound like a rather strange way to start a sermon. But let me see if I can't make the connection of Jesus watching you. In the Old Testament today, we read of the Sadducees. Let me start with the gospel. We'll do that one first. The Sadducees had been questioning Jesus, and they're trying to trap him, as they always were trying to do, and they were asking him about which commandment was the most important, and then they asked him a question about seven brothers who all died and married the same woman, and they were asking about paying taxes, and Jesus has been trying to deal with all of this. And he's teaching in the temple, and he sits down opposite the coin box where people make their offerings. And he begins to speak. And he's talking to those scribes and to the Pharisees who've been giving him such a bad time. Now, scribes, you should understand, are lawyers of the day. They're the people who interpreted the Old Testament, particularly Numbers and Leviticus. And they're the ones that people would go to when some question arose. They were the kind of folks who were very vain, very proud, and they walked around in these long robes and fancy clothes. Today we'd refer to them as wearing $1,000 Brooks Brothers suits. They're the ones who took the best seats in the temple. They're the ones who sat at the very head of the table at a feast. And Jesus is very critical of those folks. He accuses them of devouring widows' houses, of using the law to their advantage or to their friends' advantage so that they could take things away from the poor people. And Jesus said, "They say long-winded prayers, so they sound very pious." And then Jesus concludes by saying, "They will receive greater condemnation." Rich people tend to want to get a lot of attention, and Jesus is just not very much in favor of that at all. And about that time, a widow woman comes up and places her offering into the box. And I had thought about having a box over here, and I had actually experimented with it. And, you know, you pour a whole bunch of coins into a box, and that gathers a lot of attention. It makes a lot of noise. And then just drop a couple of dimes in that box and show that as the offering that this woman had. Because Jesus says the rich people, the scribes, gave out of their abundance. After everything was paid, all the bills were paid, they bought all the things they wanted, whatever money they had left, then the rich people, the scribes, gave some of that. To kind of put that in perspective, the woman's contribution in perspective, she gave a couple of pennies. It would be valued at about 1/128 of a day's wages. So assuming a person makes $10 an hour and they work for 8 hours, that's $80. 1/128 of that is 62 cents. Not very much money. Debbie would assure you that she doesn't pay very many bills with 62 cents. And yet Jesus praises this woman. He says that he has been watching her, and she has given more than all the others combined. What she gave meant more to Jesus than all of the other money that had been rattled into that box by those who were supposedly rich and worth a lot of money. Not so much because of what they gave, but how they gave. Jesus looked into that widow's heart and saw that she had compassion. Bible commentator William Henry says, though we can give but little, giving according to our ability and giving with an upright heart shall be accepted by Christ. He requires from us according to what we have and not what we don't have. Jesus looked into the heart of the woman. He looked into the heart of the Pharisees, and he liked what he saw in the heart of the widow, and he wasn't too happy with the heart that he looked into in terms of the scribes. And in the Old Testament reading, we hear the story of Elijah being sent to a woman who was a widow who was about to prepare the last meal for herself and for her son. It's kind of one of those interesting little stories from the Old Testament that makes a nice story, but we really need to look at it a little bit closer. You see, there'd been a drought in the land. God had said, you folks aren't doing what I want you to do. I'm going to bring a drought, and he did. And just before this, Elijah had been sent to a stream, and he'd been fed by the crows. But the stream dries up. And then God says, okay, I want you to go to this widow, and I want you to live with her, and she will be able to feed you. And when Elijah meets her, he asks her for some food, and she essentially says, you don't have any idea what you're asking. Here I am, poor widow. I have just enough flour to make some bread for my son and for myself. And when that's gone, it's going to be over. We don't have any more. We can't get any more. Widows in those days were looked down upon and not taken care of. And she says, and now you want me to bring you water and you want to take my bread. What kind of a deal is that? And Elijah reminds her that Jesus, or that God, has told him that your jar of flour shall not be spent and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day of the Lord brings rain back to the earth. Yeah, right, I bet she said. And my check is in the mail too, right? But God looked into her heart, and he could see that she was the kind of woman who had compassion and who cared. And as we read from the rest of the story, the jug doesn't run out of oil, and the flour bin remains full. What trust that woman had in Elijah. What trust that son had in his mother. What trust Elijah had in his God. That trust gets them through the next difficult days and months. The scribes sought earthly recognition. They gave out of their abundance. But what they gave really had little impact on their finances. But these two widows, they gave out of their poverty. They gave and suffered because of it. And so Jesus is watching them, and he looked into their hearts, and he could see that they were good people. He looked into the hearts of the scribes, and he could see that they didn't have good intentions, that they were focused on the world. And so I wonder, what does Jesus see when he looks into your heart? It's kind of a pretty scary thought for me. There are some things that I would be happy to point out. I did a lot of good things, Lord. See, look at this. But there are also some things that are packed away into those little nooks and crannies of my heart that I don't necessarily want people to see. Especially, I don't want Jesus to see them. Psalm 25 says, "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions." That's kind of the way I feel about that. Maybe that's kind of the way you feel too. But there's another line to that psalm. I'll read you the whole thing. "Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. Rather, according to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of the goodness, O Lord." You see, we must rely on God's grace and his mercy and not on our own works. When Jesus looks into our hearts, he sees only that it has been washed clean by his blood. All the sins that you want to hide in the nooks and crannies have been scoured out by his death and resurrection. Having Jesus look into your heart nevertheless can be pretty frightening. And it is then that Jesus says to you, "As I look into your heart, don't forget these things. Remember, I spent a long time here on earth, and I understand the temptations that you face. Don't forget that I spread my gospel around the part of the Middle East. Don't forget that I trained 12 guys who would spread that gospel after I left. Don't forget that I spent Good Friday afternoon on the cross. And don't forget that on Sunday, I walked out of that tomb and conquered sin and death." And so my prayer today is that God will look into your heart today and smile, and you will invite him in. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.